dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Matt Combs.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, and we're back here on SVC Sports Talk for season number three. As most of you know that have been with us through the first two seasons, I'll always be joined by a guest, my brother Matt Combs. Jeremy Ward joins me at times. Eric Snyder's done some basketball coverage with me, and we'll have some other guests throughout the year as well. Here to get the fall season kicked off, my brother Matt joins me. And Matt, I know throughout the entire year, every year, you always have an eye on the SVC and what's going on. As you take a look at the 2013 fall coming up here, really just the entire year, what's some of the things in the SVC has your attention that you're excited about this year?
Well, I'm excited about being back on the podcast with you. Obviously, you know, I won't be on it quite as much this year. Jeremy's doing a great job with you, and he brings a lot of this is one of the rare areas in life where Jeremy brings more knowledge to the table than I do when we're talking about SVC sports. But no, I just gotta bust his chops a little bit. But no, I'm excited to be back on with you at least a few times. And the SVC, and we say this every year, it probably sounds like a broken record, but it's going to be interesting. I think every year is interesting for its own reasons. I think this year is going to be interesting. Maybe the word you might hear thrown around a lot's parity. And I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think in all these sports, you're going to see some wide open races. You might see some traditional powerhouses, maybe have their hands full, or not even be the favorite, you know? And I think whenever you have this sort of wide open, it's anybody's game, so to speak, in terms of trying to win a league, it probably makes it pretty interesting for the fans.
Well, I think the interesting point there, Matt, is I've always been able to agree with the parity in the winter and in the spring. We've kind of went through, I don't want to say a decade, but at least 5-6 years where the fall was not so predictable. I know I was looking back through the website and I saw an old fall poem that I had written where the fall kind of was almost, I don't want to say boring, but you almost kind of knew, okay, this person, remember the days of Ross and Hatfield in cross country, and you knew Uniota Golf was going to run away with it and Westfall football was doing their thing. Where now,
a dean of volleyball, yeah.
Dean of volleyball, absolutely. I shouldn't have missed that one. Now you almost look at the fall, and there seems to be more parity in the fall than ever, and it does make some exciting things. Now, I mentioned I was looking at the website and looking back through some things and organizing for the upcoming season, and it's hard to believe that we're entering our sixth year, and I kind of want to throw something out to you, Matt, here and give you credit, because I remember it was about 6 years, not quite to the day, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, because remember in about mid-August is when we'd come up with the idea. And it was kind of your idea in terms of we were wanting to do something for the league. We were wanting to do something to cover the league, and we couldn't figure out exactly what. Take us back to kind of your idea when you came up with the idea of the website, and tell us, compared to what you envision and where it's at now, just how remarkable some of the feedback we've been able to get from the community is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would have predicted when you and I were just sitting around talking about this that it would really have grown to the point it has now. You know, I think it was just kind of a little thing we wanted to tinker with, more or less, you know,
and
just kind of have a thing where we could do something. I knew that you really enjoyed following SVC sports, and you were going to all these games, and I'd actually gotten the idea, you know, I'd been looking at a website from another league over, it was a large school league in Cincinnati. They have a website, but their website was more, you know, stat based, you know, you can get on there and get all the stats, schedules, you know. And I think that's kind of where at first we were with this website, you know what I mean? We wanted it to be an informational site,
right,
really only, you know. And then I think it, it's just grown into more than that. You know, you obviously you've done a good job with some of the, you know, blogs and some of those articles that kind of get people thinking or spark discussion. But I think the thing that's really made it take off is what we're doing tonight. You know, the podcast has been phenomenal, and I know we're both so appreciative for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and Bruce at DBK, because without them we couldn't do this, obviously. And I think this, the podcast, is really what has exploded the growth of this website, you know, and it's to the point now where it's hard to keep up with. You and I were talking the other day, and people may notice some changes over the next year or so on the website, because it's grown so fast, we may have to adjust and get a different server or something. We've got so many pictures rolling in and so many stats and stuff. And so it's really taken off, and we're trying to kind of keep up with it. But I think the podcast is the thing that I've received the most feedback about, just out in public. You know, you're talking to somebody, hey, I listen to the show, we enjoy that. And it's, I think it's the, probably, wouldn't you agree, the most fun thing we do, you know, is get on here and talk about this stuff. So I really enjoy this part of it.
Well, there's no question about it. I know that just the chance, and we're going to do some different things with the show this year in terms of getting some more topics for debate. And I know last year, Jeremy and I called a basketball game. We called a baseball game. We had a live show down at the some of the basketball tournament draws. So just a lot of neat things. And you know, Matt, you mentioned the DBK Media Services. I want to make sure fans know they can subscribe to the show on there. Just simply put their email in the subscribe box, and then they'll get an acceptance email. And it's real simple. They'll get an email every time we release a new show. And I really want to encourage fans to get involved. I know you're talking about the growth and the different things. I just think that I have a friend, Dustin England, who always makes fun of me. He says, you run a website, and you have for 5 or 6 years now, yet you don't know anything about technology. And that's so true. I mean, I know how to go on the server that you and I selected, what, about 5, 6 years ago, and it hasn't changed. So definitely going to have some improvements going on. And fans, you really need to let us know. We have a phone number, 740-569-3254. Have a voice and let us know what you want. I'm the first to admit that sometimes I miss the details that you like on the website. Here's a recent example of some fan input.
I just have a message. I'm looking at the FCC Sports Zone homepage. Why don't you change the pictures on it? Oh my gosh, Reed Hutchison hasn't played football for Adena for 2 years. He's still on there. You got some softball girls, football. They're old pictures. Let's get some current pictures up. Thanks.
I'll be honest, I was really excited when Bruce sent me this call the other day, because those are the types of things. Yeah, I'm on the website hour upon hour every day, and you know, I don't even think about those little things. And when you get that kind of fan input back, it lets you know that they are constantly looking for change, and they are wanting the different kids to get involved. So we have changed that. If you check out the front of our website, you'll see some different things on the girls' side: Taylor Baker, Alexis Overly, Kayla Tackett. I know boys, I don't have it in front of me right now, Pierce Maurer, Eli McKee. I think we had 15 to 20 total kids. They're all current athletes in the league. We have all schools represented in almost every sport. So that's some good stuff there. Again, that number is 740-569-3254. So by all means, get involved. You can also get involved with Twitter and Facebook. We're SBCSportsZone.com on there. And then JJ Huddle and SEO Preps, we're getting a lot of great feedback there that we're going to include in the show a little bit later. So fans, we have a great show to kick off Season 3 on the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk podcast show. We will talk a variety of fall sports as well as several other things SVC. On the other side of the break, we start with what has been lost, what still remains, and what addition could add up to the most. Preseason, always a fun time. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody has a lot of optimism. Everybody's excited about their team. And I guess when you go and watch teams for the first time, Matt. You always recognize the class that's gone. And I think when we're talking about this, the stars that are gone or who are gone are obvious. For example, I don't know that you're going to sit down and watch Westfall football play in the preseason and think, oh, that offense is a lot better with Williamson not out there, you know, or I'm sure, Pike is going to say, hey, I bet this pitching staff's a lot better with Zach Farmer gone, that type of thing. So, I mean, the stars are an obvious thing. Before we really break down some key concepts here, Matt, just give me the perspective from a coach when looking at who's returning and what year to year is for a coach in terms of where you think your program's moving.
Well, you know, when you lose players through graduation, I think you go through the stages of grief almost, so to speak. You know, you go through that emotional time, senior night, and you know the season's coming to an end or whatever, and then when they're done, there's always a little bit of emotion there when you've coached a kid for 3 or 4 years, which if they're a really good player, you probably have coached them on varsity for 3 or 4 years. And so you go through that little bit of like sadness of, man, you know, hate to see that kid go, great kid, enjoyed being around him. And then you almost go into that, you know, a little bit later of how in the world are we going to replace this guy, you know, and what are we going to do? You know, how's this program going to move forward without him or her? And then, but I think when you finally get into your true off season, you know, for basketball, for us, that's summertime, you know, and you get into that, you know, doing things with your team, the competitive juices start flowing again. And it's like, okay, we can still be good. We just got to do this, this, and this. We've got other kids coming up to replace. You know what I mean? We've got talent here in our younger levels. We've got to get them going. So then as a coach, you almost put that, all that other stuff to the back of your mind and you move forward, you know, and you really get to work on it and you find ways. And guess what? You're going to coach another kid for 3 or 4 years and you're going to go through it all over again, because that's the way it goes. But I kind of think that's the way with a coach. After you get over the initial of, man, that's a tough loss to our program, then you just go to work and you get focused again on moving forward.
Well, I think it's different. Like right now we're anticipating what it's going to look like. I use the example of Williamson or a Farmer, but if you look back at some examples, I think of Driggs leaving the Unita girls program to graduation or Katie Corey, one of the great volleyball players in recent history at Edina. And it's true. You kind of now look at the last 2 or 3 years since they've been gone and the adjustment that happens. The one thing I think, I mentioned this in my SVC volleyball preview, which is still up on the front page as well as the volleyball page. It's obvious, again, Olivia Cobb or Jackie Keller or Jenny Grigsby, but sometimes, Matt, I wonder, do we underestimate, especially on the really good teams, your championship teams, the loss of a role player, especially one that was an all-league caliber player like a Spetnagel at Zane Trace, where they have so much coming back, but sometimes people don't appreciate just how important that senior piece was. Do we sometimes do that with role players, you think?
I think definitely fans do. I think when, you know, and let's face it, in this case, you and I really are fans. You know, I mean, we're not in practice with these teams every day and we don't see them play, you know, every single time they're out there. But I don't think coaches do. I think coaches know exactly the role players they're losing and how bad it's going to hurt, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think with fans, we do. And I'd even make the argument they don't even have to be an all-league caliber player.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
You know, I lose role players every year that I think that probably people don't even give a second thought to, you know what I mean? But I'm thinking in my mind, boy, this kid came off our bench and gave us 2 minutes at a time last year, and his attitude was great, and he never complained about it, and he, you know what I mean? Right. And how am I going to replace that? Because that's just as important, truly, to replace as the other stuff. Yeah, you have to have your stud players and be good and all that. We know that. But you better have these other kids who accept their role and aren't a problem on your team and contribute, you know what I mean, and take a less glorious role, so to speak, where people aren't noticing them. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all underestimate that. I think if you were to, not to put words in his mouth, but just to use Gene Bumgarner as an example, you know, I think a lot of Gene, I think he's a great baseball coach. Everyone's going to say, oh, man, you lost Zach Farmer. That's a tough deal. I guarantee if you talk to Gene, there's some kid that people don't even really realize they lost that bothers him too. You know what I'm saying?
Six other starters, yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's thinking about, yeah, I had this kid that hit in the six hole that played his butt off every night for me. Nobody else remembers him, but he's really good, you know.
Right.
And so that's what I'm talking about. Coaches don't underestimate that, but I think sometimes as fans we do. We tend to think about the big losses, but the small losses can play a role too.
I think I'd so try. I was at the preview there, and I was talking to a lot of different people around the gymnasium, and the name Olivia Cobb and Jackie Kello. I knew Jenny Grigsby, Alyssa Kennedy. All those names were coming up. But as the night went on, rarely did the name Spetnagel come up. And I got to thinking later that night when I was writing the article that what a huge loss, and how much we do sometimes underestimate the loss of those other players. And the other thing, Matt, I think it's a domino effect. Let's use a Huntington volleyball example where Kello graduates. Well, now Delana Gregg, she's going to be asked to shoulder more responsibility, but it's a domino effect of, well, who's going to come up and take Gregg's role from last year? Or a basketball on the boys' side, Wes Bean graduates off of a team that's going to be really good this winter. Connor Smith's ready to probably take on more responsibility, but who then steps into the fourth position and takes on Connor Smith's old role? So how do you balance all that? Is that the importance of your JV coach or your junior high coaches? How do you balance getting kids ready to take that next step? And is that what separates maybe the role player from the eventual star?
Well, yeah, because what you're talking about is a two-headed monster, because you've got to – your JV coaches and your freshman coaches or whatever, your youth, your younger level coaches, you know, they're having to try to develop talent to, you know, to boost your program. I'll just use the example, just because I'm familiar with them, that you just used with, say, Wes Beam and Connor Smith. You know, Wes Beam graduates. Okay, you know, he's a great player. It's a tough loss, obviously. But we got this kid, Connor Smith, pretty daggone good here. Athlete, big kid. He'll just kind of move in there and take Wes's role and roll with it. Well, who takes his spot like you're talking about? Fine. And then, so that's the first part of it. But the second part of it is he's got to take on a different role too. So even though you replace a good player with a good player, even the roles for the good players change. Does that make sense? Because if you're the second, let's say last year you're the second or third scoring option, and people were like, oh, he's going to be a good player, and we've got him back for another year. How well is he going to adjust to his new role? Because last year he was, you know, I'm not talking about Connor Smith anymore. I'm just talking about people
in general. Right.
But like if you had a kid who was your third leading scorer last year, and all of a sudden he has to become your leading scorer, how's he going to adjust to that role too?
Well, now
he was pretty good in that role. Can he be pretty good in the other role? You know, so yeah, it's kind of a two-headed monster there where it's player development, but it's also as a coach trying to help that kid who you know is a good player and has played varsity for you, help him accept his new role and get used to his new role too. I mean, we're going through that a lot of Benton County right now because we graduated 7 seniors last year.
Right.
You know, so every coach goes through it. It's just part of it. If you're going to coach high school sports long enough, you better be decent at, helping people adjust. Because if not, you're only going to be good when you're really good, you know, when you're really, really talented. You're not going to be able to sustain. And I think if you see a lot of good high school coaches, which the SVC has a lot of, you'll see these people help their players learn these new roles.
Well, I know Jeremy Ward makes a good point, Matt, when he talks baseball, softball. Just because a certain kid hits 400 in the 6 hole doesn't mean that same kid can move to the 2 or 3 hole and do that, because obviously you're going to get pitched differently. I think that's a little what you're saying. In a basketball or a volleyball, if all of a sudden you're the number one option at the net, or in basketball, boy or girl, you're the number one scoring option, your name goes to the top of the scouting report, so they're going to defend you differently as well. So those are all great points.
Yeah, I mean, I've had kids before come off the bench, you know, and man, this kid's a really good six man. I mean, he had a great year for us. And then the next year he's asked to start, and maybe he's not quite as good as he was because he just can't play that role the same as he did his old role. So yeah, it's a challenge. There's no doubt about it. And you're going to see a lot of that in the SVC this year because, you know, there's a lot of new faces, I think.
Now, Matt, the one thing we haven't covered, we talked about classes going, classes returning, but we also need to talk about the class that comes in every year. Fans, you know, we want you to get involved. One way you can best do this is to get involved by calling us at 740-569-3254. One fan had a comment for us this week on a current topic and the incoming freshman.
Yeah, I'm calling regarding SBC Sports Zone podcast. And the reason I'm calling, I was interested to see your guys' take on this freshman class concerning girls sports, this freshman class of volleyball players with Devin Putnam at Adena, Carly Carroll at Adena, Ricky McGill at Huntington, I know there's some other freshmen throughout the league. St. Trace has at least one freshman on their roster. I know the current junior class, 2015 graduates, had a huge impact on the league as freshmen. Last year, there was just a couple players as freshmen that had impacts in the league in volleyball. And I was just wondering your guys' take for what you thought this freshman class's impact would be, and if it would be equal to, greater than, less than the most recent, probably big class that we've had come through, which is the 2015 graduates. Thank you.
Well, appreciate the call, and it is a really good call for the topic on this week's show. You heard the caller talk about Carolyn Putnam and Adina. Obviously, there's no secret the athleticism of the McGill girl at Huntington. He mentioned Zane Trace looking to a freshman. He's referring to Ashton Ward, who she's being asked to take on a responsibility in the 6-2 offense. You have to set her position. Here's a team picked by many to win the league, and they're asking a kid to basically three of the six rotations to play the most important position on the floor. And then Paint Valley has the Newland girl. Now that you have some other teams like a Piketon, Westfall, who had this last year, the big time incoming, and we see those a year later. That's kind of another here. All of a sudden, they were young and inconsistent. Now all of a sudden, they're older and they look like the experienced group in the league. So I think, Matt, what I take from it is obviously every year, the incoming freshmen do impact the league. I do think this group has a lot of potential to do that in multiple sports and in volleyball included. When you look out there in 7-8 man rotations and you see one or two freshmen sprinkled in everywhere. Now, as impactful as the junior class was at that age, that might be a little bit of a push. Only time will tell. But I think the point is, especially on the girls' side, we've talked about this over the first 2 years of the podcast show. It seems like on the girls' side, that freshman can come in and impact things a lot quicker. What's your take on that in terms of just how much of an impact this group could have?
Well, yeah, that was the exact point I was going to make. I think in girls' athletics, we see it all the time. We see really impactful freshmen. I mean, really, really good freshmen. And here lately, you've seen it in boys a little bit, too. I know, you know, last year, obviously, with the Maori kid a freshman, there wasn't a whole lot of ninth grade about him, you know, when I watched him play. I mean, that kid could play, you know. And you'll see that every now and then. A little bit in our league. We had several freshmen playing varsity last year, but you see it more in girls. There's no doubt about it. A girl make an immediate impact at that age. They mature a little bit quicker than boys, I think, and they're ready to go, you know, at that ninth grade age. You see a lot more, obviously, junior high and youth sports than I do, Shane. So in terms of me commenting on the individual kids, I don't know that I can really do that, but I do think that in girls athletics, the freshman can have a huge, huge impact. And that makes it tough. If you're just the average fan like I am, that kind of makes it tough, you know, picking your league in, you know, preseason, because you don't know some of these new people coming in that might have a huge role.
Well, I think what happens in volleyball that's maybe not quite as, well, I know it's not as true in basketball, and in baseball, softball, we could argue it a little bit. In volleyball, what happens is you can use a specialized skill. You know, if a kid comes up and they're a great passer in the back row, well, obviously they don't have to play at the net. You can sub them out and you can do some different things. I think a volleyball player who's going to attempt to play all the way around at the varsity level, I think that's really difficult. But I wanted to get your take on one thing, Matt, because as I was listening to the phone call for the very first time a few days ago, getting ready for the show, I'll tell you, this is what kind of came to my mind. I think this is good stuff here. When we look at it from a boys coach, we always think from that freshman to sophomore year, the improvement made. I think sometimes on the girl side, because we look at a kid being so impactful as a freshman, we kind of forget that experience is really, really valuable. When I think of Piketon, they kind of had some kids go through this last year in girls, and now they're sophomores. And now Uniota kind of goes – they go from sophomore to most of them junior. Do we sometimes stop – fail to stop and kind of look at the improvement from year to year? Or do we expect – it to be all or nothing as freshmen? Because it's just like we just talked about with role players. A lot of times those role players, they don't truly develop into the impact of what can happen on a championship team, maybe to their sophomore and junior year. Do we kind of get in a hurry and then sometimes forget about them?
Well, maybe. Yeah, I think so. And you know, I've noticed in girls athletics sometimes, and you don't see this quite as much in boys. And I think the reason is, again, I think boys, you get a lot of really late bloomers as boys. You know, you get some boys who you know, you'll see them as sophomores and then you'll see them as juniors and be like, wow, he doesn't even look like the same kid. You know what I mean? He's grown. He's gotten bigger, stronger. And a lot of times you'll see these girls as freshmen, you know, really hitting their peak in terms of size, you know, and strength and things. So I think sometimes with girls, you may not think you see that much improvement as compared to boys. Does that make sense? Because maybe they physically, they've peaked a little bit as a freshman and sophomore. But I think the thing you do see in the really good girl players is the improvement, just the knowledge of the game.
Yes.
You know, you see intelligence improvement, so to speak. You know, all of a sudden this really talented freshman that was really, really good, but would make some real, errors that you think, wow, you know, she's just not thinking. Well, she's a freshman. You know, when she's a junior, she won't make those same mistakes because she's learned, you know. Right. And I think that's where you see boys and girls see that mental improvement. Just the game slows down, so to speak, a little bit for them, you know, and it's a little bit easier that way.
Well, it is funny how classes go in cycles, and not just at the individual school, but throughout the league. A lot of times when you get one of those really good leagues, and maybe it's through the little league, through junior high, competing class versus class for 4 or 5 straight years, it just kind of helps develop that. But you do see that. You do see the classes go in cycle throughout the league schools. Again, fans, that was a great call, 740-569-3254. Great discussion to this point. We will keep it going on the other side of the break. Make sure to stay with us as we will explain in the preseason how it can be considered good, bad, fair, unfair, wanted, and unwanted all at the same time. It's impossible to talk preseason, Matt, without talking about the word expectation. And I think expectation, sometimes high versus low and fair versus unfair, really is where the topic will come up every sport, every preseason. And I've already been going through this with the website this fall. I know with the Uniota girls in volleyball, many feel they'll challenge Zane Trace for the title. Many have made Uniota the preseason favorite. This particular team is pretty much junior loaded now. They've come up through freshman and then sophomore, now junior. They get older and older, and like you said, the talent's always been there, and maybe they're mentally kind of getting better and better and better, and that comes, you know, some consistency and whatnot. But I had received several emails and different things over the past years too, saying they thought I was a little rough on this Uniota group. And I noticed on SEO Preps, in reaction to my volleyball preview, X, as we like to call them, X is a Uniota follower there. Many people are familiar if you're on Southeastern Ohio Preps, and if not, I think it's a good read. It's on their volleyball section under the Side of Valley Conference. And he was saying that he felt the critical nature of some of the things I've said was fair. He said the potential's been there, and now it's the time. You know, now that it's time for them to play up the potential. And it got me thinking a little bit of these high versus low expectations and how fair or unfair, and just how hard it is to win a league championship over a 14-game grind. Matt, what's your take from a coach's perspective, maybe even a player's perspective, of expectations? And is it just something we talk about, or are expectations really there for people on an everyday basis, such as a coach?
Oh, I think they're probably there, but to be honest with you, for me personally, it's never really bothered me because, you know, I think as a coach, if your expectations – your expectations should probably be higher than everybody else's anyway. You know what I mean? So really, what do you really even care what other people think? Because you've got your own expectations. You know, you know, and we always talk to our kids about we're going to define our own success. You know what I mean? Other people aren't going to define our success. We don't really care at the end of the year if other people say, oh, you were really good, or you should have been better. We've got to feel that for ourselves. You know what I mean? And I always tell our guys, you know, when we're picked to win the league, or when everyone thinks, you know, we should be really good, you know, the good news is, you know, yeah, other people have these high expectations, but the good news is my expectations of you is higher than theirs. And the bad news is my expectations of you are higher than theirs, because that means I'm going to work you and push you and not accept less, you know. Right. So I think if you have high enough expectations yourself, then they're going to exceed others anyway. So for me, and I think for players, it should be this way. You know, you don't really care what other people's expectations are because you expect so much of yourself, I guess.
Well, the other point in expectations, Matt, is the responsibility that comes with the special program. I mean, when you talk about an Adena volleyball, what it must represent to put on an Adena volleyball jersey, or at Westfall with some of the things they've accomplished. I know on JJ Huddle, in reaction to my preview article, Trust Me, the name, using Trust Me, was saying, can you really pick against Westfall and Adena ever in that conference? And that was kind of interesting to me, because a lot of times with JJ Huddle, you get a little bit more of that outside of our area opinion, you know what I'm saying? Like, so right. People that look in from the outside just always assume Adena Westfall probably be good. And I think it goes back to our opener tonight in the show of Westfall, Adena, for the longest time in volleyball, you knew Adena was going to be there and there were one or two teams that might be able to challenge them, where now you are looking at a volleyball league that maybe has five teams that can win it all. In football, there are several teams that could really stick their nose in and do this. But do you think there's more expectation when you talk about putting on an Adena volleyball jersey or a Westfall or Paint Valley football jersey or an Adena baseball jersey or so forth and so on down the line? You know what I'm saying? In terms of that responsibility from the tradition of those programs?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's a great topic, really. This topic could probably take a whole show, really. I don't want to take all of our time, but what you're saying is really true. And I think from this standpoint, I think players, at least it's been my experience, players really feel that pressure sometimes when they play in a program that has been really, really good for a long time. You know,
some handle it better than others.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, because, I mean, we've been fortunate enough, you know, where I coach that we've had some success, you know, league-wise. You know, eight out of the last 10 years we've won our league. You know, and what I started to realize with my players, what I've started to notice the past couple of years, and I was too dumb to notice it when I was younger, but it puts a lot of pressure on them, because they don't want to be the group that screws it up. Does that make sense? You know what
sure,
I mean?
Absolutely.
That's how they think. They think, oh man, if we're the group that doesn't win the league, then everyone's going to point at us as the group that. I really felt sorry for the Adena girls, you know, in volleyball when they had that, when they finally that winning streak ended. You know what I mean? And then the league championship run ended. You know what I mean? Right. Because I know how kids think, and those kids probably think, ah, oh, we kind of let everybody down. We've done this for so long. And I think as a coach, that part of it's tough, because you don't want your kids to think that way. You know, you don't want to put that pressure. I never talk about the past. I know a lot of people probably talk about tradition and look at the tradition of our program and try to use it to motivate their kids. And maybe that works for some people. It doesn't work for me, because I don't want our kids to think about anything in the past. I want this to be their team. They're making their own history. You know what I mean? Because if you're not careful, they'll put the weight of the world on their shoulders, thinking we can't be the group that ends this. We can't be the group that ends this. And they'll play really, really tight. And you don't want that. So it is, that can be tough for coaches sometimes to, you know, transfer to their kids of just relax, you know, we can do this, you know, because I think those kids feel that pressure.
Well, a great example of this, I know I was out on the driving range Friday after school when the Uniota golf team was down there, and Uniota had just lost a league match the night before, which is something in the last 3-4 years they haven't really experienced. And you could just kind of tell, knowing Coach Drummond the way I do, there was a true focus in their meeting. They are working on a few things in their wedge game, but I tell you what they were really talking about more was just their mental approach to the game and their desire to compete. I know an old high school teammate of mine, Jerry Bryce, was out there that day, and he kind of even said something to the kids, just trying to, you know, pick them up a little bit. I mean, here's a guy, Jerry hasn't played Uniota golf in what now, almost 20 years. I think he was on the inaugural team in 94 that won the league, so he was an old high school teammate of mine. But it's just that tradition you're talking about, and sometimes the kids do feel that pressure. Now, Matt, there was something in the inbox I thought was really, it almost struck me funny, but the more I started to break it down, and I tried to step back and look at it, not as a coach, it started to kind of make sense because I think there's a lot of people out there with ego that would surprise us with their answer to this. But the inbox was asking, if people think you can win four and you win nine, would you rather do that compared to them thinking you could win 17 and you only win 11? Which one would you take? It was asking. And I kind of struck me funny at first, but let's face it, our profession of coaches, there's some ego-filled people there. It almost surprises me maybe sometimes what some would take there. What's your response to that email?
11. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I'm never going to say I'd rather win 9 than 11. But joking aside, I know what this emailer was talking about. So sure. to give them their due, I understand the point they're trying to make. I think
you say that, but there's a lot of people that if they could answer it in a hidden way, they almost ego wise want to like look at to be the overachiever. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think if you're secure in the way you think as a coach, I think this question's intended for the coach, right? Pretty
yes.
much.
Yes, I took it, I guess.
And not so much high school kids because we know they think differently. I thought differently when I was 17. But when as a coach, I think if you're secure in your program, what you're trying to do. You don't really care about other people's expectations. You know what I mean? You're trying to define your own success. So you're always going to want to have the most wins you can get in that season so those kids can feel good about themselves. Even if there's somebody sitting in front of their computer on Southeastern Ohio Prep saying, oh, these guys underachieve. That's their opinion, okay? But as a coach, you want your kids to experience that taste of winning as much as they can. And even if, even if it's not as much as other people thought, I'm going to take the 11 wins. Now, again, it goes back to that thing, though, you know, like, do you want to be picked to win the league or would you rather be picked second or third? You know what I mean? Again, as a coach, why would you even pay attention to that? You know, right. you've got your own expectations and your kids are going to have their own expectations. Hopefully you influence those a little bit and you're going to try to go out and win the league, whether people think you can or you can't, you know, but I do think there's some people that just feel more comfortable being the underdog. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, I think it goes back to the expectation thing and the responsibility of some of the programs. I think some kids, some teams, some coaches, they embrace it.
Yes.
Where others, it really is a stressful thing. So I think it goes back to the trick of knowing your team and knowing which one will motivate them. Do I need to put pressure on or do I need to take pressure off? Because I think it really can work both ways. But that was a really interesting email, and I think it's something that is going to generate a lot of feedback. Fans, you can obviously respond to that. Let us know what you think at 740-569-3254. Just leave us a voice message, and maybe we'll use you here on a future SVC Sports Talk. Well, it obviously wouldn't be a kickoff or preview show without some predictions. So on the other side of the break, we talk standings, individual honors, and all sorts of things SVC. Well, preseason guesses, when we look at headlines and some fun things to talk about, fans throughout the year, we will continue to do our 2-minute drill for predictions and other rapid fire questioning. For our debut show, we are going to give all of the fall sports a mention. Matt, why don't you take the lead on each one of these? I will follow. So let's go to the hurry up offense. It's time for the 2-minute drill.
Football. No Williamson in Williamsport. Optimistic in Bainbridge. Too much unknown to say.
Yeah, I think with football, I mean, you know, Westfall has had a really great run, and there's still a lot of pride in that program. You know, they're going to want to show some people that, hey, we got some kids here can still play. We've graduated some people, but we're still good. So there's going to be a lot of pride there on the line, and they're going to work really hard to try to show people. And And I think the optimistic in Bainbridge is true too. I mean, people might forget because they haven't been dominating the league or whatever, that's a proud football program, and it has been for a long time. There's quite a bit of tradition there, and that's a town that loves their football. And I'd say they're real excited about some of the young kids that they've got coming back now with a year under their belt. And like I said in the beginning of the show, there is a lot of unknown, and that causes for the potential parity. You know, there's some teams out there, whether it be maybe a Uniota, you know, they're going to have some athletes. It'll be interesting to see how Piketon, reacts to the mass graduation they had. There's going to be – it's kind of wide open in football. And I think for me, Paint Valley – might be a little bit of an early favorite, but it's wide open.
I tell you, the headline, Matt, that jumped out at me was down the last one there, the too much unknown to say. With everything we talked about, when you start trying to break down role players or offensive lines or defensive lines, or there's so many pieces to the puzzle in football that there is a lot. I know ZT has Henny back, Adina. I saw Harper's back. I believe Piketon has the farmer kid back. I saw Uniota on the roster playing the Hosley kid at quarterback. What a tremendous athlete he is. But there is a lot of optimistic in Bainbridge. Obviously, that's a program that I'm close to, coach a lot of those kids in baseball. Anthony McFadden returns under center, and Tegan McFadden and Mark Clifford and Nate Yoakum. I could go on and on and on with the amount of talent that returns out there. They're real excited. They dropped D7. They play a very favorable schedule in terms of the non-league. So I think that there is reason for them to be excited. And then, like you said, Westfall is a team that they have a lot of numbers, a lot of talent, a lot of athletes. And I know they've had great quarterback play over the last 6, 7, 8 years. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure on the kids that are asked to fill those spots. But nonetheless, I think what happens in football a lot of times, it takes – those first 3 weeks. I know with some of the Saturday games, I'm going to hope to see 5 or 6 teams here in the first 3 weeks, so I'll be able to say better then. But no, there's a lot of exciting things in football to be checking out here as we get into week 1 and week 2.
Volleyball. Carl and Lady Pioneers are champs until someone proves otherwise. Uniota, perhaps most talented, but are they still a year away? 5 teams have title hopes.
Well, I mean, I think it goes without saying that the Zane Trace, somebody has to knock them off. You know, I mean, they are the champions, and they have the right to be, respected that way. I know Uniota has a lot of talent, so they're going to be right there pushing for that. And there are some other teams with title hopes. I don't want to discount anybody, but I guess in my gut, I do feel like this is a little bit of a Uniota-Zane Trace thing this year. I could be dead wrong, but I think Uniota has the talent to push them a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if they can get over the hump.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, Matt. I know Haley Carl and Kylan Strasball return there at Zane Trace. Obviously, those two all-around talents to make them probably the team to beat. Pontius and Chafin return as well. But, man, Uniota really is talented with the Overleys and then Ward and White and Neff. Are they still a year away? I don't know. What I guess I'm looking for there is some of the consistency, not just against the best teams they play, but every night out, really taking a serious approach to the court and really taking care of business. And you'd be crazy to count out Westfall, Adina with their tradition. I know Dawson and Skaggs there at Adina are back. Phillips and Curry returns at Westfall and Tackett. And then Huntington. Huntington's really talented with Ingram and Gregg and Lytle. We mentioned McGill, the incoming freshman, a top newcomer. So a lot of talent in those top 5 teams. Southeastern, Paint Valley, Piketon are not that bad of volleyball teams as you see when they get outside the conference. It's just with the top 5 in the conference really makes it tough, but should be an exciting year. But yeah, I'll go with Zane Trace as the team to beat, but my gut really tells me Uniota is really, really good.
Golf. Has Uniota come back to the pack? Player of the Year race to be decided one stroke at a time.
Yeah, the player of the year race, this thing could be, this thing could take all year really to decide. I don't know that anyone, there's 2 or 3 guys at least there that are sort of going to be going back and forth for that. But talking about Uniota coming back to the pack, they had a rough night the other night in the league match. you had mentioned Dan Drummond earlier, Shane. You know, Dan's been doing this a long time. He's not going to scare off easy. You know, he's going to mentally, you know, prepare his kids. And a lot of people probably don't think there's much to a golf coach. You know, the best teams win. What can the coach really do? Well, the mental part of the game is where they come into play. And Dan Drummond's as good as anybody at that, because there's still to this day, I can hear him saying things to me when I'm 17 years old, when I'm out on a golf course playing. He'll have those kids mentally prepared. They'll practice hard. I think they have come back to the pack, or the pack's caught up with them a little bit. I don't know, whichever way you want to look at it. But someone's still going to – it's kind of like the Zane Trace volleyball thing. Until somebody proves over the course of 8 league matches that they can overtake them, in my mind, they're still my favorite.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Uniota score-wise, maybe coming back to the pack a little bit, but that's just a credit to some of the really good Uniota teams over the last couple of years. I know shooting in the high 160s, even into the 170s the other night, that's not going to get it done. But again, as you get onto some other courses, that's not to say that's what they're going to shoot all year. I think Adina with Cooper, Daly, and Miller give them a really nice nucleus to attack Uniota. Uniota getting some nice scores from Calvin, but some real inconsistency from some of the rest of the roster and some of the youth. Zane Trace, I don't know if they can win it, but with Arnold and Newman, I think they can definitely, just like they did the other night, really stick themselves in those top 2-3 spots in particular matches, which really can impact the standings. And then as I go to the player of the year, Matt, I agree, the one stroke at a time, because I know Thompson, McKee, and Patinsky, I hope I'm saying that right, from Westfall, as well as all these other kids from Adina and Uniota I've mentioned. I know the other night, like a Tyler Thompson, who's currently winning in the individual standings, he makes an 8 on a par 5 to start a round at Valley Vista, but to his credit, now as a senior, keeps it together and plays 2 under the next 8 holes. Obviously, the McKee kid from Southeastern, we know how talented he is. But the thing about the player of the year is you have to play well on that correct night. You might play a golf course really well 2 times throughout the week, but it only counts on the league night. So, you know, that's something that is misleading sometimes. And the other thing that's misleading, people who have listened to SVC Sports Talk over the years, they know I'm not a big fan of the drop your worst score, especially when it comes to the POI race. So I'm sure that's something I'll be asked about later again this year. But that is always a wrinkle in it as well, because, you know, Matt, you can go out and blow up, shoot 46, 47. Right. You probably shouldn't be player of the year, in my opinion. Right. But, you know, you drop that score, you still very well could be. So, you know, that's an interesting topic maybe for another time. But definitely one or two swings of the club or one or two putts in any one of these matches could impact the player of the year.
Cross country, Uniota boys and Zane Trace girls. Will the recent dynasty-like runs continue? Many new faces running toward the front.
Well, Shane, I'll make my comments brief on this. I think with cross country, you know, those programs are so well established. I know, especially like from a Uniota boys standpoint, I mean, I see them running up and down the road. It looks like they've got 50 people, man. I don't know how many guys, you know what I mean? So it's just, I think it's,
you don't join in and run with them, do you?
No. Oh. I get tired just driving behind them, but you know, it's going to be hard probably to overcome. We've talked about depth in some of these sports and how it pays off. It's probably going to be hard to knock those people off the top. But again, I'm probably ignorant to some of these new kids coming in, because you can have freshmen that are impacts and stuff like that. You may know a little bit more about it.
Well, I think you're right, Matt, in terms of the depth is the key word there, because like with Uniota boys, they graduate some pieces, but Richter comes back. I know Magda, as a sophomore, wins the Paint Valley invite the other night. You know, Westfall has a couple all-league kids. I know the Newton kid's back. Piketon has a couple of Dixons actually back. So, yeah, the depth is the key there with Uniota, and then Zane Trace on the girl side the same way. You mentioned incoming kids, Matt. Zane Trace has Mackenzie Ray, who won the junior high meet last year. Well, then they Wolf Wallace, Chin, and Josie are all back as all-league right. runners. So, I mean, the depth is just phenomenal. I will say, just to give some credit to some other kids and some coverage here, that Uniota girls had 5 of the top 9 the other night at Paint Valley. Now, Zane Trace wasn't there, but nonetheless, that depth you're talking about could maybe push them a little bit. Haley Wright, incoming freshman at Huntington, she actually won at Paint Valley there. And then a sophomore, Clarkson at Adina. Marco is a freshman at Paint Valley. Those kids don't have the teams around them to compete with the Union and Zane Trace, but those are some names I really think you'll see when the All-League race comes up later in the fall. So always exciting to follow. I really wish cross-country would do more light golf and have more than just that one day. Some people in cross country disagree with me, but I do think for fans that just like to follow high school sports, I think that would be a little bit more of an exciting way to go. That's just something I always throw out there every year.
Soccer, growing at an unbelievable pace.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, soccer is growing nationwide. You know what I mean? You're seeing so much more. And it has been for a long time. I mean, really, you sit down and watch SportsCenter now, you're going to see soccer highlights every night. I mean, you wouldn't, 10 years ago, that wouldn't happen, you know? So I just think soccer in our country is growing. A lot of kids are growing up. It's a sport that you can play. I have two young kids, and it's awful hard when you have a six-year-old kid to just throw him on the baseball field because he can't really catch well and his hand-eye. But soccer is a sport they can play really young. You can have 4 and 5-year-olds out there running around trying to kick the ball. It may not look like soccer, but, they can attempt it. And so I think kids grow up playing it, from an early age, and they like it, and that's why you're seeing it grow at the high school level.
Well, there's no question about it. And next week, Matt, one of the topics on the show, I was already looking ahead with some of the emails coming in, and I think we're going to have a couple people that might even be willing to call in and give us some input on this. But soccer is an example of how more and more sports are being added and how they're concerned with numbers in terms of how it's hurting other sports and the financial situations. But as for soccer in the SVC this year, not an official sport, but you do have to kind of wonder how far we're away. Uniota Zane Trace, all the way back to when we were in high school, has always had good programs. Southeastern now, their coach told me in an email the other night, this is their first official varsity year as being an OHSAA member. Dylan Miles, the outstanding point guard on the basketball team, he had 5 goals the other night in a game. He has 10 already in their first, I believe, 3 or 4 matches. And then Pike and Adina Westfall getting involved. So a lot to follow. You can follow all these sports by clicking on the icons over on the left side. So I encourage people to follow their favorite sport every night throughout the fall. Fans, let us know, 740-569-3254. You can also use Twitter, Facebook, in the inbox. We're even using Shoutomatic again. You've probably, if you are with me on Twitter and Facebook, you've probably already heard some of those shouts come out. So subscribe to the show and really get involved in everything we're doing. As always, we want to thank our sponsors of Chris Good, the Valero, Adina Sports Medicine, all those people are involved there on those scoreboard pages that you'll see if you visit us on a nightly basis. Also want to encourage you to get involved in our Pick'em contest. Still not too late, and that information's on the website. Well, Matt, before we get out of here, as we know, every week we try to steal an hour of our fans' time. So we still have us about 8 or 9 minutes here. I wanted to take one last look to the inbox because I thought this was a pretty good one. It was asking about fall baseball, and it was saying, do you think it is okay for a kid to play fall ball on Sundays if they're a football player? Do you think it's fair for a football coach to say they can't play? It seems to me that more and more coaches are trying to get their players to focus on just one sport. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and start here and then just throw it over to you, because I'm even a baseball coach saying this. I think you have to be respectful of the in-season coach, and every coach is going to have their different philosophies. So I can only give mine. My philosophy is, as long as in my season you're not missing my practices or my games, if you're wanting to go get involved in things on your free time, by all means, I have no problem with that. Now, can a kid get hurt? Can Mason McCloy, a good baseball player of mine, get hurt going to open gym? Sure, but Mason McCloy can get hurt fielding the ground ball at practice. You'd rather him not overdo it. There are certain things you worry about. You worry about an Anthony McFadden going up and down open gym for an hour and a half and then being my starting pitcher the next night. But at the end of the day, I want my kids playing 2-3 sports. I want their mind in that competition. I want their mind constantly, you know, in sports and doing those things while they're going through their high school experience. So I've always tried not to be a hypocrite on that. If I have a baseball player that wants to go to open gym, by all means go. But at the same time, if a kid wants to play fall ball, you know, I would love for him to have that opportunity. But again, I think it's very important that you're respectful to the in-season coach. Matt, some of your take on this.
Yeah, strictly with this example here, you know, I agree with you. I think it's fair for that coach to say no. All right. I think that's fair. Now, is it what I agree with? Well, maybe not. You know, I think as a coach, you have to be, I think you have to have your own kind of set of standards, or, you know, what you think is right, obviously, you know. But I think you have to be, in today's day and age, flexible and willing to adapt a little bit. I mean, times have changed, whether we like that or not. I mean, kids have changed. You know, it's funny, we'll sit here and say, man, kids are different today than they were when I started coaching 15 years ago as a head coach, or 20 some years ago when I was in high school, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then the people from my dad's generation probably laugh and say, you think they're different then? They're way different than they were 40 years ago. You know what I mean? Right. And we always hear this, kids are different, kids are different. And they are. I mean, times have changed. You know, there's more for kids to do, obviously. There's more to take their time and attention away. I think as a coach, we can either be really, really stubborn and say, you know, take a hard, flat line on this. And if you do that, you're going to lose some kids. You know what I mean? Because there's going to be that one kid that says, okay, then I won't play football. I'll just go play fall baseball. You know, so you're going to lose kids taking that hard line. And some coaches believe that way. I'm not going to say they're wrong. But
well,
for
some
me,
coaches can probably get away with it if their parents are established, if we're being honest about it.
Yeah, well, no doubt, depending on your program. If you've got the numbers, okay, I got another guy waiting to take your spot. Whereas if you're trying to rebuild a program, you need that kid. So. But I think you have to adapt. I mean, I try to look at it as a coach. You know, my teams, we're never going to have a complete democracy. I can tell you that. I mean, you know, it's because that becomes unorganized and chaotic and all that.
Right.
But I think it's okay as a coach to work with a kid and say, okay, look, I know you're involved in this. And it may not be fall baseball, maybe 4-H.
Sure,
it
this could be anything.
It
right?
may be an academic thing, or, you know, whatever. And my thing with my players is always, let's talk at the beginning of the season. Lay it out here for me. I mean, what might you miss? Is this going to cause you to miss any of my practices? Is this going to cause you to miss any games? Lay it out here for me. What might you miss? And if I think that sacrifice is too great and you're not really going to be able to commit to the team the way I want you to, then I might say, hey, look, you're going to have to make a decision. But if we can work together on it, you know what I mean? If he says, coach, I'm just going to have to miss one practice here this week, or that maybe I'll work with the kid. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to, at the end of the day, we're doing this for kids. So you want to try to be flexible and you want to try to work with them. But there can reach a point where the kid's commitment to something else overtakes his commitment for his own team. And at that point, it becomes a problem. You know,
sure. You always talk about you can't balance it if you can't try to balance it.
No, I mean, the coach needs to be flexible, in my opinion, but the player needs to be responsible. He has to understand that I'm making a commitment if I play the sport.
Right.
And if I can't make that commitment, if I've got to miss every weekend's doubleheaders in baseball because I'm doing something else, then that's not a commitment to the team. You can't miss 10 games and say that you're truly a member of the team. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But you know, can a coach work with a kid if he has to miss one time? Sure, I think he can. So it's just, again, it's that flexibility from the coach, but it's that responsibility from the kid.
Well, real quick, Matt, you're a successful varsity basketball coach with a really good program. Is it fair for you to want a kid to come in on a Sunday night shooting, let's say, in the fall, that they play, say, football, but then during your basketball season, if the baseball coach wants them to come in and hit in the cage on Sundays during the second half of the season, you almost have to let them do it both ways, don't you? Or no? I mean,
I guess that's the balance.
I think that I'm hearing from some of the different people at some of these other schools when they are sending me these emails. So it is a kind of a balance thing and a consistency.
Well, yeah, I mean,
with
you really shouldn't have a double standard. The problem is, a lot of schools, and I'm very fortunate where I work, that all the coaches are kind of friends with each other, and we get along really well and we work together. But there are schools where the basketball coach and the football coach hate each other's guts. You know, I don't want to talk to them. So they don't really care. You know what I mean? This is my rules. I don't care what he thinks. Well, that's bad, because then the kids get caught in the middle. You know, you need a coaching staff that can work with each other. But yeah, I mean, for me, you know, you made the example of open gym for your baseball players. You know, I'll tell you, I cringed a little bit when I heard that, because I'm thinking, man, you know, you can get hurt. And I understand what you're saying. You can get hurt doing anything. But my view on that has always been, I'd really rather my basketball kids not be doing something that they could get hurt in, or taking that extra risk of injury, I guess. You know what I mean?
Sure, I get it, yeah.
But if a kid wants to go hit in the cage on a Sunday night, I mean, I don't know. I guess he could get hurt, but I mean, it's going to be a freak injury if you get hurt hitting in the cage, or it's going to be a freak injury if you get hurt just throwing, you know, just to get some throwing in. And just like in, if I take a football player into the gym on a Sunday night for 1 hour of just spot shooting, you know, and some free throw shooting.
Right.
I don't know how he's going to get hurt. I suppose it could happen, but the chances are low. And it's a good question, because the OHSA has just recently approved basketball,
everybody
with these individual workout proposals. So it's going to get more and more, because starting September 3rd, I can start taking kids four at a time in the gym for shooting workouts, or just individual workouts.
Right.
And I'd like to do that with some of the football guys on a weekend possibly. You know what I mean? Get them in there, just get some free throws up, some jump shots up. But if I do that, And the football coach is okay with me doing that, then I've got to in turn be okay with him doing something with my kids in the season. So it has to be a back and forth, you know?
Well, it is. And I tell you what, I really wish I'd have given us more time on this, because this has ended up being some great discussion. Something tells me this won't be the last time we talk about this on SVC Sports Talk, because I really want to see fans, parents, coaches that are listening to the show use our voice system, 740-569-3254. Let us know your thoughts on this, and we'll definitely revisit this in the upcoming week, as our fall shows have just now, we're just one into what will be 10 shows during the fall, and then 10 more in the winter, and 10 more in the spring. So until next time, for the great people with the Family Fun Center inside Triple Crown, for DBK Media Services, for my co-host Matt Combs, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.